When you need to work quickly and confidently across different apps and platforms, consistent quality communication is key. Whether you're writing documents, emails, or presentations, you need Grammarly. It's an AI writing partner that helps you get your work done faster with better writing. It's always there to help because it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can get more done no matter where you're writing. Grammarly is the gold standard of responsible AI, trusted by millions of professionals for 15 years. It gives you personalized writing suggestions based on your audience, goals, and context, plus tone suggestions to help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online, so any small business could be a driving force to create change or build an empire. We know old ideas aren't cutting it anymore, so we're calling for a new generation of thinking, your way of thinking. So whatever you have in mind that will help make a different future, find everything you need to get started at GoDaddy.com. Because the future isn't decided yet. It's up to us to make it happen. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics, you know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Here we are, gentlemen. I've got Chandresh Pala and Anirban with me. Now, I'm going to talk about Anirban first because I came across his profile on LinkedIn. I haven't met you in real life, Anirban, but I was really, really impressed about one or two things in specific, right? One is that I think you graduated in 93, and then instead of doing perhaps a regular MBA or something like that, you just went into the agency life and lived that life for quite a while, to be honest. And then you shifted over to the consulting side. And in the meanwhile, you've also taught semiotics, which I find a very, very sexy subject, something that is really interesting and something that can have an impact on a lot of things. And you've taught it in MICA, but, you know, it's tough to teach something in MICA, so as you would probably expect. And I'm sure that since you've gone there a few times, it means that they've liked you. So I just found that fact that, you know, you've been there and done that from so many angles makes you a fascinating person for today's topic, yeah, and probably a lot more, but certainly for today's topic. Welcome to Tell Me About It.
Thank you, Siddharth. Very kind words. We're very excited to be here. I've been following this for a while. I've been seeing this pop up on my social feed. And like I said, the Traveling Professor is something that I've now registered. So even though we've met, I've had a chance of like listening to you speak to a whole bunch of very interesting people.
Thank
very happy
so
to
much.
Be here and very happy to kind of be on the same screen as Chandresh.
Let me go on and talk about Chandresh a bit. As I was telling you, he's played so many roles with me, you know, boss, mentor, partner, friend, colleague, and somebody who's also, I think, some kind of major black belt in some martial art. Okay, and he's like, Kung Fu, there you go. And I've been so scared of that. Ever since he's told me that, I've stayed a couple of feet away. But besides that, he's also somebody who's done his BSc in physics. That is a very, and with honors as well. So that was, for some quantum physicists to come. That's the first generation for telling me about it. You've come. You literally are the scientist in the room.
You're scaring everyone. They're all going to say
no. And plus the attractive factor is the charming UK accent. So you'll get away with murder on this one, Chandresh.
Right. No, I'm so, absolutely delighted to be on the show. And like I was saying earlier, when we were just chatting, it's always a pleasure talking to Siddharth, because the conversations that we have are just incredible, because we go off on these rambling discussions and they end up in all kinds of places. So it's always fascinating, having discussions with you and, knowing you for such a long time. And it's a pleasure to meet you, Anirban, as well. So I'm looking forward to the session.
Wonderful. So let me just introduce today's topic, and then I'll shut up. I'll just keep asking questions and poking you guys throughout the hour. So the topic for today is, look, a lot of people actually want to know what a winning pitch is. Now, a winning pitch or a winning presentation or a winning presence, or you may want to, analyze and describe it in many ways, right? But what I thought would be fascinating is, Chandresh, you are an angel investor or a VC or, you're a designer studio for doing something like this. And you've also are an entrepreneur, been an entrepreneur, right? And you've been a bit of a consultant as well. Yes. So there are many angles that you're bringing to the table, right? On how you judge a presentation, a pitch, or, And Anirban comes in with his perspective of both an agency. So when an agency is going in to pitch for new business, for example, or when an agency is trying to retain an existing account or whatever, so many permutations and combinations. And now he's on to the consulting side. So I just thought, I would kickstart this discussion by asking both of you, how does, one prepare for a winning pitch? When does this preparation start? And I would like you to put on a particular hat and talk to me through that hat, and then switch over to that to the other hat, because you both are going to play two different roles. So I'd like to go with Anirban first and ask him, how would you recommend people prepare for a pitch if you're working in an agency? Mm-hmm. And then you can go on to the other side, the consulting side, and then we'll go to Chandresh.
Funnily enough, on the agency, of course, you're always, you're pitching new business, you're pitching new ideas to clients. And interestingly, when you're in consulting, you often find yourself on the other side of the table, where you're sometimes looking at these pitches and you're looking at these agencies, while simultaneously being one who's also pitching ideas to these clients. Because eventually, as a consultant as well, you're kind of, you are offering a solution for a brand. For a problem. So you're both simultaneously pitching for pitching a solution as well as evaluating solutions at different stages of projects, at different stages of solving a problem. But and traditionally, I grew up in the advertising business at a time where there were these little stunts that agencies would pull. And actually, when you think about it now, it's quite cringy. Because I do remember a particular occasion where the agency that I had once worked with, where I started my career, there was a presentation, a pitch presentation to a tea board, where in the middle of the presentation, somebody walked in who kind of was dressed up like a tea garden, tea picker, one of the laborers who would, So it was ostensibly to demonstrate commitment. And this was quite common. This was quite common. It is not very different from the person who stands outside the tent at a fairground showing you the beginnings of a magic trick and hoping that you'd kind of walk into that tent. I mean, to me, that's the mental model of what's really going on there. But it's, over the years, and especially now, and having kind of gone through this entire wave of startups and pitching for investment, pitching for business, the agencies pitching for brands, you actually think about the pitch itself becoming a product. I mean, if you go online and just type pitch, it's flooded with offerings. It's flooded with pitch coaches. It's flooded with all kinds of, gizmos and the ways in which you can package your truth and ways in which you can package your ideas and what are the key things that Shark Tank judges talking about things. So it's a and when you look at that massive marketplace for pitches, you realize that it's a very elusive thing. It's a slippery thing, this thing called a pitch. Hmm. Because had it not been so, you would not have so many people selling so many different kinds of answers, sometimes the same answer repackaged in very different ways, trying to offer a solution.
Right.
And it's interesting because when you say that it's, you know, it's become this product, it's being packaged in so many different ways. And when you kind of finally break it down, you take all of pitch coaching and you break it down, and you take all of the pitch consulting and you break it down, it tells you two things. And these are very basic things. It talks about presentation skills or persona marketing.
Hmm. Okay. So let me stop you there. What do you mean by persona marketing? What do you mean by...
This is what I was talking about. I mean, for instance, you go to, you know, if you're in a, let's say, in some sort of a creative pitch, and I'm talking about, and it could also apply, though I will use a specific example of a creative pitch here, it also applies to, you know, pitching for investment, which is what hat are you wearing? What persona? What are you playing? What is the game that you're playing? And here, there are some interesting kind of, there seems to be some interesting archetypes or whatever you want to call it at play. So there is this one kind of, you know, way of doing, which is where you make the person you're pitching to a collaborator in the process. You get them to own the idea. You say that, you know, do you remember feeling this way? And the moment you do that, you've invited that person to join in and feel like a collaborator. And you're hoping that eventually they will start owning your idea.
That is so interesting, because then what you're doing is actually connecting to different parts of the human brain, the way in which you're describing your process. Interesting. Thank you. Sorry for interrupting.
No, and actually, when you think about it, these are all different ways of managing a PAR equation. When you're pitching, there is a PAR equation at play, yes. Whether it's an investor, whether it's a potential client. And these are different ways in which you negotiate that PAR equation. So one way is to kind of, you know, garner that sense of collaboration by including that person into your idea, into the space. Okay. The second is where you actually invert the PAR equation, and that's where you play the creative genius, the artist, and where you kind of say that you have no idea as to what I'm talking about. You have never thought about anything this way. And I will blow your mind.
That's a tough one, though.
It's a tough one. Not everyone can pull it off. But that becomes another way in which, you know, you play that game.
All right.
And the third one is the one where you say that, you know, I know nothing. I am just a simpleton. But I have something. You know, maybe it's worth, you know. So, you know, and so there's so many different strategies, so many different ways in which you play the persona game. And it's, the thing is that it is manipulative, you know. And I believe that the truth to a pitch, the perfect pitch, goes beyond something like this. It lies somewhere a little more deeper.
Okay. All right. Anirban, I'm going to stop you there and include Chandresh in this conversation and ask him his two bits, because he's seen a couple of angles as well. So Chandresh, anything you'd like to contribute on how you'd prepare for a pitch?
Yeah, I guess before I go into that, what I would say is, when we talk about a pitch, a lot of people immediately think that it's like for investment or pitching to investors. But that's not true, because actually we go through life constantly pitching, because what we're trying to do is to convince somebody about an idea, which is a pitch. That might be, you know, talking to somebody, a prospective, you know, future wife, you know, you might be talking to, you know, a potential professor, you know, all kinds of.
Or present wife.
present wife, you know. You know, pitching a holiday idea, you know. So we're constantly going through life trying to convince somebody or present an idea. So pitching is not just for, you know, for people who are doing investment pitches. I think it's really important to understand that. And the second thing is, when I do work with people and startups and things, even though they're not pitching for investment, sometimes I get them to create a pitch, because it's about creating something which provides that clarity of thought. It's a great way of getting your mindset and getting all of the information together, clarifying your thoughts and really distilling them into this very concise piece of communication. And just going through that exercise is incredibly valuable. So, you know, I use it all the time, you know, when I'm working with startups, even though they're not raising investment, even just to get their ideas together.
That's so interesting. So let me pause you there for a moment and probe a little deeper. So what you're saying is, even if you're not making a pitch to an investor or something, you get startups to actually do that pitch for a deeper reason. Is that
absolutely? So I teach at an accelerator, and one of the outputs that I get the people to create is a pitch. For some people, you know, they prefer it to create a pitch for a potential customer. As other people, it might be for potential, you know, team members. It could be, you know, but just going through that process of distilling their business model, distilling their core value proposition, and putting it down in very, very concise, brief details, and being able to talk about it is just incredibly valuable. You know? So as an exercise, yes, I highly recommend it.
So if I have to ask both of you this question, because I've got a sense of the thought process that goes behind the preparing of a pitch, but I still want to understand maybe from a different perspective, what is it that you've seen as when you see a pitch and you say, ha, that's really, really good. Okay. This is done with a lot of diligence and a lot of care and a lot of imagination and a lot of pizzazz or whatever you want to call it. How do you judge that? Because you've been on, both of you have been on the other side. I mean, Chandrish, you can start.
And so I can add a few things. The way I think people need to get into a mindset when they are going into pitch. And that mindset is not, I'm going there to sell. It's, I'm going there to present this amazing opportunity and give people the opportunity to buy. It's a very different mindset. It's not, you know, pushing. It's saying, hey, you know, I have this amazing opportunity. I have this great idea. And it's about communicating that idea as clearly as possible to make sure that person understands it and is excited by it.
Correct.
The person understands it and they're excited by it. And also it's about authenticity. My view is, you know, trying to do different tricks and things, you know, for me, doesn't work. You know, I'd much rather see somebody who's absolutely authentic, who is genuine. You know, if they are a terrible speaker, I don't mind, actually, as long as they're genuine, you know, and as long as they know what they're talking about and, you know, the idea is genuine. You know, them trying to do something very different, it just doesn't work. So authenticity, presenting the opportunity, and really being able to communicate that core idea. And I think also, you know, it's very much in the, you have to engage and connect with people in that first, you know, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
If you don't connect and engage with the people in those first few minutes, then you're actually uphill, you know, after that.
It's
about winning, you know, right at the beginning, you know, being in the right mindset, winning and going in with that, almost that energy. Being authentic, I think, at the beginning. So,
All right. Thanks. Anirban, how about you?
Okay. I'm going to just, you know, please indulge me. I'm going to kind of take a bit of a detour.
Go for it.
I kind of, you know, really, really resonated with two or three things that, you know, Chandresh said in the course of what he just, you know, the way he explained it. He talked about the idea itself and the power of that and the belief in that. And that is how you communicate. And the fact that it is distilled into a very, very clear form. And I think you know, there is no way. I mean, there is, that is pretty much the holy grail of good pitch. But I've been kind of thinking about this conversation. And, you know, interestingly, at some point, as you go through pitches, you start thinking about the pitch itself and what is it supposed to do? And you wonder for the first time, where did this word come from? Pitch. Where does it come from? And why do we call it a pitch? And when you think about it, and it kind of immediately kind of bifurcates into two different imaginations of a pitch. One is a baseball imagination of the pitch, you know, or you know, whatever, you know, where you're essentially, you know, you've got something in your hand, you're really hurling it, you see how far it goes, how fast it goes, how well it puzzles, you know, the person on the other side, or, you know, kind of, you know, beats that person, you know, all the logic, all the defenses, and gets through. So that's one imagination of the pitch. But what is a more fundamental imagination of the pitch, in my opinion, is where this word comes from. The pitch attempt stumps into the cricket pitch. We call the football stadium, the place where we play football, the pitch.
Yeah, that's right.
And what we are really doing is that if you think of the idea as a stake, you're really planting that stake somewhere.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah, and if you think of the mind of the recipient, whoever that may be it a client or a customer or an investor or you know, anyone, you are trying to understand, you need to understand that mind. Then they say that read the room, you know, who are you pitching to? That's what you mean. You need to know what that ground is like. And you need to, what you're really trying to accomplish is to kind of plant that stake in a way that it becomes impossible for that person to shake off that idea, that thought that you've planted long after that meeting is over.
Wonderfully put. Thanks. Okay. So that's really interesting. Now, that kind of segues very well into my next question, which I'll ask Chandresh, because I think you're a little winded and out of breath. So hang on a bit.
But I like that concept. I love that idea. Yes.
Yeah, it's a great idea. It's a wonderful idea. So here's the deal, right, Chandresh? How do you read a room?
I think before going into the room, it's about preparation. It's about understanding who you are pitching to, understanding the company, what their goals are, what their interests are, because what you're trying to do is to really understand, you know, as much as you can before you go in the room, right? It's all about that preparation. And secondly, it's about knowing your own numbers as well. You know, you need to have done your homework in terms of preparing about what you're going to be talking about. You need to have all the detail, you need to have done everything. I mean, there's a few little tricks that I can suggest as well when you go in the room, and these are a bit obscure, but you know, for example, sitting in the right place. So for example, I suggest people sit near the screen. So when they're presenting, they sit near the screen, because rather than if they're sitting and stand, you know, sitting there throughout the pitch, they can change the energy by getting up and actually pointing at things and showing a bit of enthusiasm, so they can easily do that. The other reason is kind of an obscure, strange reason, is that typically that means that you are facing the doorway, right?
Okay.
Which puts you in a power position, because if your back is towards the door, then you're actually in a weaker position psychologically. Whereas if you think about most power positions, you know, all the bosses sit facing the door because that's a position, right? So there's little things
like the door.
Well, you know, it's always like the president sits, you know, facing the door, you know. So if you're in that position, you can then move, you can talk, you know, and you can show people things that get that energy level, you know, show that enthusiasm if required. You can control the room, you know, you can control where it's going. But also I think it's, you need to be, you know, I was thinking about an analogy, and, you know, I love things like music. So I think it's like jazz, right? So you train and you train and you train and you become a master of your instruments and, you know, as a team. But then when you go in, you have to be able to improvise as well, because somebody absolutely will throw some curveballs in. They will absolutely try and put you off, right? And ask you all your questions. So you need to be able to improvise and go off and, you know, go with the flow and you know, like jazz.
I understand. So talking of awkward questions, let me ask the same question to Anirban with a bit of a twist. Okay. So if you're reading a room and if you're trying to actually make an impact, while does your mood need to be very calm yourself, or should you be excited? Or how should you be like when you're pitching? And just as a corollary to that, and probably Chandresh can pitch in later on, do you think making a pitch is a team sport or is it an individual one? That's based on your baseball analogy.
Okay, let me kind of talk about a few things, and as an extension of what Chandresh spoke about in terms of the different things that work, I'd like to bring in my own little analogy, or rather my favorite example of a pitch.
Sure.
And why that has read the room so beautifully and how it has kind of converted something into a very, very powerful idea. But before that, I mean, it is indeed a team sport. I mean, very clearly, there is someone who goes and presents, and often, whether it's an agency or a, you know, a startup, it will be the person who has those skills, who communicates, because it is about that, finally. But everything happens before that meeting. While you, and I completely agree with the, you know, the jazz reference here, that you must be able to give yourself space. You know, I would take a football example, saying that how do I find myself in space?
Correct.
Where I can run, where I can look, where I can pass, where I can see opportunity.
Correct.
You know, and that's where you need to find yourself when you're presenting. And so whether it means that, you know, energy is that of someone who's really passionate, who's really energetic, or someone who's calm, it depends entirely on where you are at. And I think that's very important. You can't fake that. And it's silly to try and fake that. But you need to be that. You need to find, make space for yourself. But it is a team sport because everything that you've done in terms of, you know, just getting your story together, distilling it down, saying that, okay, what is it that, and here is where the differences between, let's say if I'm making a new business pitch as an agency or as a consultant, the differences between the client and the customer need to melt away. Because you are eventually speaking to another human being sitting across that table who shares the same desires, the same motivations as your, you know, in some form or the other, as your customer.
Correct, I understand. But how do you read the room? How do you read the, okay, so this guy seems to be in a little irritated space. How do you do that? What cues do you look for?
So to me, the reading the room happens before the meeting, and you kind of try and rise above anything, you know, in that sense, any moods that are there in the meeting room, because you cannot engage with that and you should not engage with that. The reading of the room is deeper. It is not just about immediate, at that point in time, what is my frame of mind? You're trying to reach into something deeper. And here is where I like to bring in my favorite pitch story. And it's a story that probably anyone who's watched Mad Men, or even if you haven't, you probably know that story. It's the story, it's where Don Draper pitches for Kodak Carousel.
Oh yeah.
The tray. For those who are unfamiliar with the term carousel, I mean, it's in the days of slide projectors, and you had this round tray which sat on the slide projector with slides inserted. It could go forward or backward, rotate in that fashion. Yeah. And that's how you would project slides. And it's very interesting. You know, I think he talked about, you know, he says that new technology creates an itch and your product is like a lotion that soothes that itch. Uh-huh. But what we have here, And Kodak, I mean, the background to that meeting is that Kodak, this inventive, innovative company, for them, this what they called the wheel internally was very important. And they were looking for the word wheel in that pitch, you know, and that's where they were coming from. And that's what he understood. And what he goes on to say is that this is not a piece of technology. This is a time machine that goes forward and backwards.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that lets you go to back to that happy place that you thought you had lost forever. If you think about it as a human thing, everyone feels that way.
So this
doesn't
seems to be
matter who you are.
Anirban, I'm trying to play amateur Sigmund Freud here, but this seems to be your go-to. You think that this works, really. Connecting with an emotion that the other person has felt, I think, is key according to you, you know, and then you can actually relate to that person and build something from there. Would that be right?
Absolutely. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we start a business? Why do we go about inventing something? We feel something very strongly. We don't have the words, or maybe we don't. We're not looking at that emotion as an inventor or as a startup or as a, you know, a brand owner. We are not looking at that, but we are driven by that.
Yeah.
It is, and suddenly when Don Draper stands up and says, calls it carousel, in a flash, you suddenly make sense of what you've been trying to do all this time.
Yeah,
and you know that even though you didn't call it that, that is what you were trying to do in your own human way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Wow, guys, by the way, I have started getting millions of questions right here. So I'm going to kind of move to some asked by people. So Anibhav Garg has asked this question to maybe both of you. How will digital impact brands in the post-COVID era? How should an agency pitch, maybe this one is for you, Anirban, how should an agency adjust to the impact and pitch to brands? So have a think about it. I'll ask Chandresh this one, because this one is coming to Chandresh. Could you share your experience as an investor as to what made you believe in a startup after hearing their pitch? Okay, so maybe Chandresh, you can go on this one, and Anirban, you can think of, you know, what's the best way of the COVID thing. Yeah,
sure.
Over to you, Chandresh. Yeah.
So if the core thing when you're doing a pitch in a startup is for you to understand, you know, does the investor understand the concept? Do they understand the problem? If they don't understand the problem, then you've lost them, right? So you have to connect and really understand and appreciate the problem that is being presented. If you don't do that, then all the rest is just, you know, irrelevant.
Yeah.
So where I've been pitched to, and that problem actually completely resonates with me, because I think, yeah, you know, actually that is absolutely something that I can appreciate is a big issue. Then you've got my attention, right? Then it's about the solution. Go on.
No, this is exactly what Anirban was saying.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, getting that connection and really early on, because if you think about it, you know, people that you're pitching to are really busy and everyone's attention span is getting shorter and shorter, right? So you have those first few minutes to really get that human connection, like Anindya was saying, it's that human to human connection, mental. And the reason is, you know, you have to build that right at the beginning, is you have to give them a reason to listen.
Yeah.
And if you get that connection through them understanding what you're pitching, you know, I've had people who just go off into this tirade of, you know, fancy sentences and, you know, great diagrams and things. And what they have missed is that the room actually doesn't understand the problem. So they're talking about the solution before somebody's really connected with the problem. So it's, you know, they're trying to explain something and they've lost the room.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
A different future starts with you. That's why GoDaddy does more than help you find a name. You can create, sell, and get found online so any small business can make a change. We need a new generation of thinking. Your way of thinking. Start different at GoDaddy.com.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.